This conference will now be recorded.
All right, good evening. Welcome to the April 7th, 2020 Planning Commission meeting held here virtually on GoToMeeting platform. I am Wilt Herrod, Chair of the Planning Commission. This is our first meeting with this group using this platform. So I wanted to inform everyone of the process for this meeting. Our goal is to have everyone who wants to be able to participate to be able to do so, that's including the public. Our Department Secretary Michelle Vespy is our organizer for this meeting, and we'll be managing all of that. At the beginning of each agenda item, I will call on the related staff member to present first. Once the presentation is complete, I will call on each commissioner in alphabetical order to offer their comments, and I will be going last. If a commissioner has additional comments they would like to add afterwards, they can unmute themselves in that open time. Michelle will be trying to keep all other attendees on mute to prevent background noise and echo. Please try to avoid talking over other people so that everyone listening in can hear clearly. If a member of the public would like to comment on an agenda item and they are connected to this meeting through their computer, they should also message Michelle through the chat function with their name, district or address, and the agenda item on which they'd like to comment. The chat window is accessed by clicking on the speech bubble icon on the top bar. You can select to send your chat comment to just the organizers using the pop-up listed at the bottom of the chat screen. If you are connected to the meeting audio by phone only, your name only shows as caller 1, 2, etc. So you need to let us know who you are when requesting to comment. All lines will be muted until individuals are called on to speak. To support any attendees who are connected to the meeting only through their phone, we'll unmute each phone that is connected to the call one at a time to ask whether you have any comment. When you are unmuted, you will hear unmuted in your earpiece, and that is your cue to know that your line is open. If you have no comments, please just say no comments so that we can move to the next caller. Anyone giving oral comments will have the usual 5 minutes. All speakers, especially commissioners, must identify themselves prior to speaking in compliance with the executive order on teleconference meetings by Governor Carney. Votes will be taken by roll call. If there are any issues during the meeting, we may adjust these guidelines if necessary. To begin, I will ask each commissioner and staff member to identify where they are physically located, and I will begin. This is Will Herrod, and I am connecting to this conference from my home in District 2.
This is Carl Kadar, and I'm attending this conference from my home in District 6.
Oh, sorry, I should be doing this order. Commissioner Drake.
I am attending this meeting from my home in Newark, Delaware on Plymouth Drive.
Commissioner McNatt. Commissioner McNatt. There we go.
Are you there?
Yes, there. I hear you.
Okay, great. I am in District 3 from my home on Braemar Drive.
Thank you, Commissioner Silverman.
I'm attending from my home, 23 Wakefield Drive in District 5.
Thank you, Commissioner Stozek.
I'm attending from my home in District 1.
And finally, Commissioner Wapner.
Hi, this is Tom Wampler, and I'm at 39 East Park Place, District 4.
All right, thank you very much. All right, moving to item 2 on the agenda. The minutes of the March 3rd, 2020 Planning Commission meeting. I will go in order if anyone has comments or corrections. Commissioner Drake.
I'm sorry, no questions or comments.
Thank you, Commissioner Kadar.
No questions or comments.
Thank you, Commissioner McNatt.
No questions or comments.
Thank you, Commissioner Silverman.
No questions or comments.
Thank you, Commissioner Stozek.
No questions or comments.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Wapner.
No questions or comments.
And I also have no questions or comments. So I find that I say that the minutes are approved by acclamation. I don't have a gavel. This is terrible. There, gaveled. All right. Items 3 and 4 have been withdrawn to a later meeting. As explained in the email to everyone, staff needed time to review the conditional use language, and the affected party in item 3 wished to move their agenda item to be in the same meeting as that work. So that moves us to item 5, review and consideration of amendments to the 2018 International Energy Code. All right. Director Gray, could you lead us off?
Sorry. I started talking and I'm like, why? Yeah, I was muted. Let me start again. Planning and Development Director Mary Ellen Gray. Thank you, Commissioner Hurd. In your packet was a proposed green building code in ordinance form. At our last meeting on March 3rd, we had reviewed, the Planning Commission had reviewed this energy code, proposed energy code, and Commissioner Hurd did a presentation, and there are some questions regarding that. We have not made any changes to the proposed ordinance since it was presented to the Planning Commission on March 3rd. Now, I just wanted, by way of background, also want to mention that it was scheduled on the on the City Council agenda to be presented in concept form, utilizing the same presentation that Commissioner Hurd presented to the Planning Commission on March 3rd, and that was scheduled to go to Council on March 16th, just to get some general thoughts and input on this code provision before it went back to Planning Commission. For those who perhaps might not be aware, that agenda item, along with most other agenda items, were removed from that agenda to deal with the COVID-19 issue, and that was our first virtual meeting, council meeting. It was like a hybrid virtual council meeting because we live streamed it from the council chambers, but we didn't have any public. We had public attending via live stream, and so that was not heard. The first reading for the Green Building Code is still scheduled to go to Council on April 27th, and that's certainly depending upon if there's many changes recommended to Planning Commission this evening. So I would hand it back to you, Commissioner Hurd, on that. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. This afternoon, we circulated to the commissioners a summary of the comments received so far on the language of the amendments to the 2018 IECC. It was just Alan and myself who had provided the bulk of the comments. So given that, I think I'm going to go in order for commissioners. And basically let Alan and myself sort of explain the comments we have that you can see here in the document itself. So we will begin with Commissioner Drake.
I reviewed them and I don't have any questions or comments.
All right. Thank you so much. Commissioner Cater.
Reviewed with no questions or comments.
All right, Commissioner McNatt.
I have reviewed them and I have no questions or comments.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Silverman.
Yeah, I've reviewed the document as presented, and I'm totally in support of the proposal as made, particularly as shown on page 4, where the requirements apply to square footage of commercial down to 5,000 square feet in residential units, down to 3 residential units for residential subdivisions. I like the effort done by the committee by grouping the credits into 3 main categories of energy conservation, resource conservation, and indoor environmental quality. The way the work was done by the committees and the format makes the goals of this effort much more understandable. It takes it from the concepts of light color roofs and solar panels down into literally the systems in the building. And not only does the program meet the green energy goals, but also makes the construction and the livability of the units provided and the square footage provided of much better quality. Toward the end of the document, I had several other questions referring to generally in line 655. And I don't know whether we need to explore whether gray use is even permittable under DENREC regulations, okay, even though it is a very good reuse of water and conserves a potable water source. And also the site disturbance and elevation in the flood zone, whether there's any conflict between the existing FEMA codes and the city code. If this is allowing extra points for exceeding those elevations, then that needs to be clarified in the language. And that's pretty much my comments. This is a very complete document.
Okay.
Very easy to read document and reflects highly on the people that put it together, including Mr. Firestone.
All right. Thank you so much. I will say I don't believe
that's the end of my comments.
I don't believe, thank you. I don't believe we had done any checking about gray water and DENREC. So that's a valid question that we should probably research just to be sure that we're not proposing points for something that wouldn't be permissible in the state. And for the flood zone elevations, I'm pulling this up now. I think we're looking at like 5 feet above base.
I believe that's a reference 5 feet. And
I think current code is 18 inches.
Right. So what we're saying in the text is if you have the first floor living elevation 5 feet or greater, you get these points.
Correct.
Okay.
Right. The intention is to exceed the current recommended guidelines for most everybody to remove the challenges or the issues with flood zones and having to tear down buildings and rebuild them and such. All right. Thank you. Commissioner Stozek.
No other comments.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Wapner.
Yeah, I have just one question. I'd like a little background on one of the items, and that is in the table lines, actually 299 to 308, about bicycle storage. And in the original language, there is short-term storage and long-term storage. And I'm assuming short-term storage refers to like just a regular bike rack. Is that right?
That was correct. That was, when I reread this last week, I picked it up too. And that's why my edits were removing references to the short-term storage, because the city already mandates one bike space for every five car spaces that you install. So it's already in our code that we provide short-term storage.
Yeah, that was my question. I thought once that had been removed, that it was probably covered by someplace else in the code. I just wanted to be sure that I understood that correctly. Other than that, I think it's wonderful.
Okay, thank you. I honestly don't have a lot to say about this because we've been living this for a year. I just wanted to kind of point out the changes that I'd made. There's sort of three types. One was to remove provide and then replace it with earned throughout the document, because we were a little inconsistent on using that. The other was actually based on a comment that Nancy Payne, the director of the AIA Delaware, she had been reviewing this document and had sent me some, talked to me a little bit. And when she was reading it, it wasn't clear to her if you did a stretch performance option, how many points you still had to get if you did that, because it looked like we said you get 30 points plus 4 and 4 and then you're done. So my edits on that were language to make it clear that you get the 30 or 40 points, you still have to get 50, but now instead of a minimum of 8 in the other two categories, it's a minimum of 4 in the other two categories. And then there was the slight edits to the bicycle storage to, instead of saying what we'd said before, commercial, institutional, retail, and residential, connecting them to specifically called out uses that are in the current zoning code for off-street parking requirements, so that we can use apples to apples. So if someone says, I have a professional office, you know, the zoning code says professional office, here's the parking spaces, and this code will say professional office, and this is the long-term storage spaces that are required. I do agree with Alan's comment that URLs and other information like that, we should reference an appendix or some other place outside of the actual enacted code, so that can change on the fly more easily. This was one that Ms. Payne picked up on me. At the very, very end, we talk about, it says, where did it go? Oh, line 789-790. What we had written was that, I'm trying to flip here fast at this end talk, that a minimum of 10 additional points is required for the site plan approval process. But that is counter to the site plan approval process, which is to say, here are areas of consideration that the city will use in determining whether to grant site plan approval. So that was why I felt we needed to strike it out of this section of the code, because right here it's a mandatory 10 points. And while we want to encourage the 10 points, we can't make it mandatory. And then slightly editing the site plan approval language to pull back in that energy conservation paragraph, so that it says one area of consideration is energy conservation, basically demonstrated by providing 10 additional points in this section and referring it back. So I just wanted to be sure that was clear about why I did that and what the intention was. All right. Are there any further comments from commissioners based on what I've said and other comments from commissioners that they wish to raise? And you can just unmute yourself.
Peter Drake, no comment.
Okay. And you don't have, if you don't have anything to say, you don't have to, chime in, but just an open space here. Okay.
Bob Stozak here.
Yes.
Are you looking for comments about these changes or just the document in general?
Well, so my hope is that these changes would be then incorporated into the document that we forgot. So
I don't know whether you were doing it like part one and part two or just we can just talk about anything about the document at this point.
My hope was to try to do this with basically approval as amended, using this as the amendments. So if you have comments on these comments, changes, and such, I'd be glad to hear them.
I don't have any comments about these. I just have a couple questions about the process and the overall document that was put together by the committee.
Okay.
Do you want me to go ahead now with those? Or?
Sure.
Okay. I noticed, I think there were two members of the committee who represented builders in the area. Maybe Jeremy can answer this question. And I'm just curious, did they register any concerns about being able to work with this document or meet the requirements?
I don't have a memory of, I mean, there was a few things that in the course of conversation we adjusted based on input from them. We had Ben Prettyman as a developer, and he does also construct. And we had Rob, I'm going to blank on his last name, but from Bancroft, I think, Construction,
yeah,
as a GC, he wasn't at every meeting, but he did provide some ideas about, or some context around items that we were discussing in terms of constructability or is that something that we can easily get, you know, if we're talking about materials or processes.
So were his concerns answered?
I believe so.
Okay. Okay. Second question was, there's discussion about these stretch codes, or whatever you want to call them.
Stretch up, and, sure.
Yeah, and I think it was reference made to New York, and maybe it was Massachusetts has done something similar to this.
Mm-hmm.
And there were models, you referenced models that those states had done relative to what would be the cost and benefit ratios or cost benefit numbers. Do we have any actual data from those states? Have these things been implemented in those states? Do we have actual data, or were these just from models?
I was not able to find anyone who's reported actual data yet. And I did go looking, and this was all I had found, was a study in New York and a study in Massachusetts. And I think the Massachusetts one might even have been a model done while they were considering the stretch code, so as a way to kind of explain the impact of the code change. It does seem to be in line, I think, in within the committee, and I'll let the other committee members chime in. It did seem to be within the realm of what seemed feasible. That is, it will cost a little more, but not a huge amount more, and it will provide a benefit, but maybe not a completely offsetting benefit, in the first year. But I think the challenge we recognized is that the city of Newark, for the most part, buildings are being built for people who are occupying them, who don't own them, mostly. So we felt it was important for us to make sure that there was a push to make the building performance improve, because if you don't occupy the building as the owner, the incentive isn't there necessarily for savings in energy and such.
Okay. My last question has to do again with the stretch idea. And I haven't done an exercise to see whether this even makes sense, but let me ask the question anyway. If you have to get, say, a minimum of 50 points, is it possible that somebody could take one of these areas and do a stretch item to get extra points, but not do things in the basic requirements? In other words, it's like making change. Can you put extra effort into one area, but not do it in other areas that might seem beneficial? Since there are no requirements to do a minimum number of points from the basic requirements.
So there is a requirement in, so we're proposing a requirement in the code that they provide 24 points in the energy conservation category, 8 points in the resource conservation category, and 8 points in the indoor environmental quality. So that's a total of 32, I think.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not right. 40. So there's 10 points left over. If they're just going down the checklist, there's 10 points left over that they can get from anywhere they want in this checklist. If they do either the stretch performance options where they're documenting performance that is 20% better or 40% better than code, they get those 30 or 40 points, and that covers the energy conservation category, but they still need to get points in the resource conservation and the indoor environmental quality category.
Okay.
That was something we were very clear on, that we wanted to be sure that they couldn't just fill it all up in one category and never touch the other ones.
Okay, yeah, that was my concern. Could they, juggle things to their benefit and not do some basic things that made a lot of sense?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, then that's all I had.
Okay. I don't want to feel like I'm misrepresenting anything, so if anyone on the committee wants to jump in and correct or add to my comments, they are welcome to.
So can I chime in?
Sure. Hi, Reed. Oh, yeah. Announce yourself. I haven't been doing that.
And throughout the year process, I just want to make the members aware that it was always a discussion on, is this feasible? Can a builder build this? Does it cost too much to get this point? So we went back and forth, and we either added more points because it costs more, or we eliminated it to try to make it a code that can be built to without an extreme amount of effort. Primarily, it's really more, to me, it's more of an education that they'll be required to do. They have to learn this. They have to learn how to get a air tightness down to 2 or 3, whatever they try to go for. And that's just the education. It doesn't really cost more material necessarily, but they have to learn this. So anyway, it was always a banner back and forth to make sure that this is a cost-effective process.
All right, Will Hurt again. Thank you, Reed. I see. Oh wait, I'm not jumping in. Jeremy, it looks like you're ready to talk.
Yeah, I was pretty much just going to concur in Reed's assessment and say that I thought the group worked really well together. It was a very consensus-driven process, and we took our time, as you all know, and we went over things multiple times to ensure everyone was comfortable and everyone thought the items were both doable and really had the fairest assignment of points that we could come up with as a group based on our collective knowledge and expertise.
I agree.
Chime back in.
Oh. I think Tim looks like he wants to jump in on something, but then I'll let you go, Reed. Yes, Tim.
I just wanted to say that one of the other things that we tried to emphasize in this code is the ability to just build to the code and not require a bunch of engineering and additional costs involved in the planning of the buildings, that they could just be built to the code. So that's all I wanted to add.
All right, thank you. Back to you, Reed.
So this basically is a stretch code, and we've referenced, or Will has referenced, New York and a few other areas, but we have gone through multiple. I mean, this is not something, we're not reinventing the wheel here. This is probably 30, 40, 50 of them around the country that are being implemented. County, state, city by city. It's just, we're not the only ones doing this kind of a code.
Yep, agreed. All right, Michelle, I see one caller on the line. caller one. Let's unmute them and see if they have any comments. Caller one, do you have any comments on this item? Anyone on the line? All right, I will take that as a no comment. All right, so I will bring it back to the dais. Any further comments before we move forward? I'm not seeing anyone jumping for the microphone. Okay. Secretary Wampler, could you read the motion, please?
Yeah, I'm going to consider the printout of the list as modifications, and I'm going to make a motion that the modifications we discussed tonight be added to the amendments and sent to the City Council, if that's what you're looking for.
That is indeed. Thank you.
Okay, therefore, I move that the Planning Commission recommend that City Council adopt the amendments to the 2018 International Energy Code as modified in the April 7, 2020 Planning Commission meeting.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Drake.
I'm in agreement.
Oh, sorry. We need a second.
Commissioner Silverman, a second.
Thank you. This is so weird. So, okay. Commissioner Drake.
I vote in favor.
Thank you. Commissioner Cater.
In favor.
Thank you. Commissioner McNatt.
In favor.
Thank you. Commissioner Silverman.
In favor.
Thank you. Commissioner Stozek.
In favor.
Thank you. Commissioner Wampler.
In favor.
Thank you. And Commissioner Wilhurd votes in favor as well. Motion is carried. Okay. Item six, review and consideration of an ordinance to amend Chapter 32 for landscape screen and treatment, was withdrawn by the city and hopes to be on the May agenda. When they have not as scrambling to deal with COVID-19 issues and can review their ordinance. Which moves us to informational items. The current projects in the land use project tracking matrix were included in your packets. And we'll now have the planning director's report. Director Gray, please.
Now I'm muted. Sorry, I'll start my spiel again. Was I talking before or no? You just hearing me now?
I didn't hear a thing, so yeah.
Okay, I'll start again. Thank you, Commissioner Hurd, Director Mary Ellen Gray here, the Planning and Development Department. And I will have I have a brief director's report. Since the March meeting, starting March 13th, the city was going to do a pilot for working at home due to the COVID-19 situation, and that became a stay at home from March 13th. So the bulk of our activities, at least my activity, has been focused on the transition from working from home, not just me, but having the Planning Development Department work from home, keeping staff safe as well as productive. So I had articulated in the last two weekly reports that I'm happy to report that we have successfully transitioned to working at home and working in the field, because certainly we have our code enforcement officials and our property maintenance inspectors working in the field. And So our construction projects are moving forward. Rental inspections, the regular rental inspections are postponed until further notice due to an abundance of caution. Now the governor's directive that we should not be going into people's homes. But they are certainly busy at work doing property maintenance things, other related issues. We put together a drop box in the lobby, so plans and permits and applications, and actually we just received a land use application for a special use permit today. So we have set up a process where we can take things in. Certainly we prefer things by email now, but there's situations where you have a big roll of plans, so we have that drop box. We're also able to process affidavits remotely, and we're taking calls at our home. The phone systems have been transferred to home, so when you're calling the city, you're still getting an answer. And there's been a couple of hiccups with that, but by and large, that has been working as well. So some non-COVID related issues that we've been working on. Tomorrow is we have a virtual meeting on the Transportation Improvement District Committee, and that's at 1:30. We're utilizing a slightly different platform, which is a Microsoft team meeting. And that's going to be organized by Dave Athey from AECOM. And we just had a practice session today, which went well. So we're optimistic that meeting is going to be a successful virtual meeting. A couple other issues we've been working on. We're coordinating with some DART folks regarding a grant. We are not applying for it, but the DART folks are applying for the grant, Federal Transit, to complement Unicity. It's called Microtransit. And we're very excited to be part of that effort, and we're hopeful that we will be successful in getting that. Microtransit is kind of a combination of a bus system, like the paratransit system and Uber, where it's a crowdsourced transportation system where it would be on call, so you would call ahead and say, I want to go to the Food Lion at 10 o'clock, and then that pickup would be coordinated with other people who are going in a similar direction, and the drivers would be contracted, so it would be a driving service, not a private entity like somebody pulling up in a Toyota Camry or something. So we're not exactly sure how that's all going to work out, but we're excited to be part of that. Coming up, council, the meeting before the March 16th meeting, when things kind of took a turn for the worse regarding the COVID-19 situation. March 9th, Margarita's Pizza special use permit to serve wine and beer was approved. There was a big cheer for that. And March 16th, as I mentioned, not only the Green Building Code issue was continued, but the Unicity discussion. We had planned a demonstration of the kneeling bus that University of Delaware uses, and security camera system, as well as a GPS and a phone app. So we're still trying to work to move that forward. We're also looking to pilot the UD bus system, the kneeling bus system, in the summer when UD buses are driving once again. So we're excited about that opportunity. The planning area 7, the proposed comprehensive amendment to the comp plan to add planning area 7 was tabled at the March 16th meeting, and to be rescheduled at a later time. We are in talking with Councilman Markham. He had asked for, and we are planning to have a public meeting, a virtual public meeting on April 30th, because there was concern articulated by council that there was still some questions regarding that, and they didn't want to have their first virtual meeting on a topic that there were a lot of questions. So here again, they tabled it. So on April 30th, we are planning to have a virtual meeting to present again the proposed planning area 7 from the staff. The staff will be doing that, and then that will be the first half of the meeting, and then the second half of the meeting will be staff will step out, and Councilman Markham will be having a community meeting on the proposed Milford Run subdivision. So let's see, a couple of other items coming up on council. On April 27th, which will be the next council meeting, we are hopeful to have propose a recommended contractor or contractors for a request for planning professional services. Council had approved in the budget for 2020 some consultant money to help assist the planning staff with some additional resources. So we're optimistic that that will be able to be presented April 27th and approved. I think I mentioned this, also at that April meeting is the first reading for the Green Building Code, and I did not mention this, so it will be the second reading for the fee revisions. Moving forward, on the May 11th, the May 4th council meeting is proposed second reading for the Green Building Code, and May 11th is the Twin Lakes subdivision. Oh, and also looking at my calendar, May 18th is also a council meeting where we'll be proposed to talk about the recommendations from the Rental Housing Work Group. And that concludes my remarks.
All right. Thank you so much. Moving to item 8, new business. It's slow, but I'm just going to poll every commissioner, see if you have anything new business-wise to add for us to consider. I'll start with Commissioner Drake.
No new business.
Thank you. Commissioner Cater.
No new business.
Thank you. Commissioner McNatt. Commissioner McNatt? Stacey, do you have anything to add?
She commented no.
Okay. Still having microphone problems then, I guess. I didn't have my chat window up. I'm sorry. All right. Commissioner Silverman.
No new business.
Thank you. Commissioner Stozek.
No new business.
Thank you. Commissioner Wampler.
Nothing for me. Thank you.
All right. And finally, me, Commissioner Hurd. Just a heads up for people. I think we discussed this a meeting or two ago. I will be drafting a set of bylaws for the Planning Commission to fill in some gaps in operational stuff that we're finding between what the code lays out and sort of what our accepted practices are. But we have a gap of, we don't have full authority sort of laid out for some of the things that we think we should be able to do. So this was a chance to get some of that down on paper, have some conversations about it, and hopefully get that set up so that we don't have issues going forward. So we hope to have that on the May agenda if we can. All right, that moves us to item 9, general public comment. I think we are still... We still only have caller 1 as the only unidentified person. Michelle, can we unmute them, please?
I think caller one is Stacy.
Oh, that's Stacy? Okay. Stacy, is that you on caller 1? On the phone? Okay. Don't seem to have a person. Okay. Just want to be sure we got a chance for everybody. That brings us to the end of our incredibly short meeting. I really do want to thank everybody for taking the time to come to the practice meetings, to get set up, to make sure everything was working well. This is a work in progress, of course, and we're still figuring it out, but I think this went pretty smoothly. So with that, I will accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Aye.
All right. Oh God, we have a roll call. Commissioner Drake.
Yes, I agree to adjourn.
Okay, Commissioner Cater.
Aye, agree to adjourn.
Commissioner McNatt. I'm gonna switch over to chat.
She agrees.
Agrees, thank you, yes. Commissioner Silverman. Commissioner Silverman, voting aye or nay on adjourning?
Aye.
Okay. Commissioner Stozek?
Aye.
Aye.
Commissioner Wappler?
Aye.
And Commissioner Hurd says aye as well. Thank you all. We are adjourned.
Okay. Good night.
Good night, everyone. Drive safe.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.